to the Lord in prayer. Father, we begin by lifting up Deanna and all of Beverly's family. Lord, we know where she is. We know that she is with you right now. To be absent from the body is to be eternally present with the Lord. And Lord, we thank you for that. Bring comfort, O Lord. Surround them with your cares, only you can do. And Lord, we pray for so many that are ill. For Jeff Hoard, Lord, and Danny Gibson, my wife Rebecca. Lord, so many, I just pray in Jesus' name that you'd bring comfort and healing to them and anyone who's ill today. Lord, we pray for that safe trip of our mission team all the way there, all the way back. Let the kids have one of the most joyous Christmas ever, Father. We thank you for those at Calvary that are traveling to visit loved ones. Lord, let them arrive safely and come home safely as well. And Lord, may you fill us with the Christmas peace this morning in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. I'd like for you to turn your Bibles this morning to one of the most familiar Christmas stories ever penned, and that is, of course, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We're not going to be in chapter 2 a long time, but I want you to turn there now if you don't mind. As we've gathered together on this Christmas Eve morning to celebrate our Savior's birth, this morning I want to talk to you about a Christmas peace, a very important word to all of us, because you know the word peace is a very huge word, amen? And many people, you know, it means different things to different people and so forth. I'm asking you a question on Christmas Eve. What is your definition of peace? I hear parents all the time, for example, moms going, you know, the kids are running through the house and they're knocking over this and spilling this and doing all of that. And the mother said, oh, they're driving me crazy. I just need a little peace. But really what she's saying is, I just need a little quiet. Amen. Or if you're paying all of your bills, you know, and you're overwhelmed and you just say, oh dear God, I just need some peace from all of this. But that's not what you're really saying. You're saying, I need a little prosperity. So this morning, that big word peace, you know, the world that we live in, they really, honestly, in their own messed up way, those who don't know the Lord, they truly want peace. They want peace so desperately that they have created a holiday, September 21st, which is called World Peace Day. Matter of fact, let me tell you what in their own words what that is. World peace is an ideal of freedom, peace, happiness among all people and all nations. It generally includes an idea of planetary nonviolence by which nations willingly cooperate, either voluntarily or by virtue of a system of government that prevents warfare. Well, that may be sincere, but to the believer, it's sincerely wrong. Amen? Yeah, listen, the world wants peace so desperately. Well, how about John Lennon? John Lennon, you know, the Beatles, probably don't remember him. He wanted peace so badly that he penned that song called Imagine, which all the world embraced. Matter of fact, I still sing it if it happened to be listening to K-Love, you know, one of those oldie goldie stations, you know, when he goes, imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, and yes, I do, John, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us when the world will be as one. Yes, that's going to happen, but it will not be brought in by man. Amen? Listen, the Bible is very clear. In Isaiah 9:6, it says, for unto us, say unto us with me, unto us, oh, praise God, not just to Israel, but to us as well. For unto us a child is born, a little baby, his humanity, there in Bethlehem. And unto us a son is given. That's our Christmas gift, speaking of his deity. And the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And here it is. Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end from that time forward, even forever. Listen, there will be no peace in this world until the Prince of Peace comes. Amen. He's the only peace this world will ever know and ever have. He is the only one who can bring peace to a person's heart or to anything in this life. He is indeed the Prince of Peace. So this morning, as we look at a Christmas peace from Luke chapter 2, did you know that we, the believer, we're really the only people that can experience the true peace. Amen? Let's find out why. Look at Luke 2:1. Quickly, we're going to go through these scriptures until we arrive at verse 14. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. Now, that's Julius Caesar. Remember, the term Augustus means of the gods. They considered him a savior, if you will. And it says that all the world should be registered or should be taxed. And the reason for that is because he had to support his huge army. And it says, now this tax time or this census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own what? Everyone to his own city. Now listen, every Jewish male was required to return to their ancestral homeland. And when they arrived, they had to register the name, their occupation, the property that they had in the family, and so forth. And so here comes Joseph, and they all went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child, or as the King James says, who was expecting and so forth, or who was great with child. So she was she was 9 months pregnant. Now, we know that the pregnancy already, I don't need to teach you, is that it wasn't from Joseph. It was from the Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary. Amen? So here is that little 16-year-old girl, maybe even younger. And here she is going 85 to 90 miles from where she is all the way to Bethlehem. And they're riding perhaps on a camel, we're not actually told. But we do know one thing. In the background, we could hear Silent Night playing. No, listen. God did something. He used Julius Caesar to fulfill what God wanted to do. You see, Caesar thought he was God. He was king, but he was no savior. Amen? The Bible teaches very clearly that God was going to bring forth a man born of a woman, born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem. He had to be a Jew. You understand? All those things. So you know what? What did God do? God used Caesar to get or to fulfill his word by getting Joseph and Mary to the exact city where the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to be born in. So Isaiah 55:11, God's word says this, "Show my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. It'll accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, meaning in Bethlehem, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in pieces of cloth, swaddling cloths, laid him in a feed trough. That's what a manger is a feed trough where animals eat. And the reason, for there was no room for them in the stable or no room for them in the inn. You imagine our Lord. I mean, here he comes into this world from the throne of heaven where angels worship and bow down, and to be born in a stable, an animal stable, an inn, because there was no room in the inn for him. And it says there, now there were in the same country these shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings," or good news, "and great joy, which will be to how many people? All people." So what is this great news and or this wonderful joy? Look at it carefully. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." You know, I don't know what peace that brings to your heart, but it brings great peace to me knowing that we have been rescued. Amen? Boy, that gives me the peace of Christmas. You know, I don't know. Rebecca is ill, you know, this morning. I'm coming in by myself, so I turn on my phone, my iPhone. I have music on there, and for some reason, I was thinking when I lived in Europe, and I was going through the Taunus Mountains, and it was snowing, and it was Christmas, and the gentleman that was with me as we were driving, it was so beautiful. I mean, I still picture it today. We started singing Little Drummer Boy, you know, rum-pa-bum-bum, you know what I mean. So I decided, I thought, you know, I'd like to hear that. And I have it on my phone, and so I held it up to my ear. and just started singing along as I drove into church today. Aren't you glad I'm telling you all about my life? But you know what I said? I said I didn't have to be born. You didn't have to bring me into this world, but you did, and you saved me. Praise God. To know that we are saved, that we've been rescued. I'll tell you what, loved one, what great peace we have at Christmas. It wasn't Jesus' birth, you know that, that saved us. It was his death. Jesus was born to die. And you know what's so sad? Millions and millions through the generations, in our generation, they have heard the good news, and yet it never arrives in their heart. They just can't comprehend that salvation, the one who was born in a manger, was to die for everyone's sin, for their sins. They don't understand the loss, that salvation doesn't cost them one thing, but it cost Jesus everything. Amen? You see, salvation is a free gift. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Look at verse 12. The angels now, they're continuing, you're talking with the shepherds, and look what they say. "And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." Again, a feed trough. Now, question, how many babies do you think are going to be in Bethlehem in a feed trough? Just one. Okay, there he is. Now, and look at verse 13. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts." In other words, an entire army of angels singing. I'm assuming they're singing. "Praising God and saying," and here's our text, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth," what? "Peace, goodwill toward men." Loved one, listen to me. As we are going to, we're preparing our hearts this morning during this message, beginning even right this moment, to celebrate communion. Amen? It'll be passed out later, but right now, we start preparing our hearts, okay? Listen, it says peace. Peace on earth. To all men. What men is he talking about? The angels here. What kind of peace, and peace with whom? But I'll tell you something. There's absolutely no peace on this earth. Amen? So is he talking about peace on earth? You remember during World War I, you may have read the incredible story in college or high school or whatnot in your history class. You know, World War I was horrible. It was fought there, in Europe, and the 25 million people, soldiers, were either wounded or killed from 1914 to 1918. And there was a famous story. It was called the Christmas Truce of World War I. Maybe you read about it. It's where, let me just read an excerpt. It says, there in the trenches of Flanders and in France, the first Christmas of the war, a few brief hours on Christmas Eve, men from both sides of the Western Front, meaning the Germans and the British, they laid down their arms, emerged from their trenches, they shared their food, they sang carols, they played games, and they had comradeship. And it says, not a shot was fired. You know, it says that the Germans literally illuminated their trenches to celebrate Christmas. How they did that, I'm not told. And there, it was so cold, so brutal, that trench warfare was the worst, and you can't even imagine how horrible that was. And then they celebrated all that day, embracing one another, singing together. And then in the morning, it says this. It says, in the morning, the German and British commanders bowed to each other. They saluted each other, and they went back into the trench. And then the war was on again. And there would be no further truce until the general armistice of November 1918. And many, perhaps close to the majority of the thousands of men who celebrated Christmas in 1914 together, would not live to see the return of peace. But for those who did survive, the truce was something that would never be forgotten. True story, that actually happened. The angels of God speaking to the shepherds who was in a few minutes will go and look upon the great shepherd of the sheep. Amen. They said, good on earth, peace. What kind of peace is God talking about? Is it a truce with the world? Is it a, okay, I'm going to cease fire? Is that what he's talking about? Listen, let me read three versions of Luke 2:14 to you. It says, glory be to God in the highest, or in heaven, and on earth peace among men, here it is, with whom he, meaning God, is well pleased, men of goodwill, of his favor. Another translation, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth among men in whom God is well pleased. Glory to God in the heavenly heights, peace to all men and all women on earth who please him. What kind of peace was the first Christmas peace that has never ended to be offered to this world? It is the offer from God to every generation and to every person wherever they are, peace. Not a truce, but a peace. The Bible says that Jesus was born from a Virgin Mary. And it says in Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement, here it comes, for our peace, your peace, my peace, mankind's peace, if they want it, was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. The only way that we can have peace is the one who was born in the manger. Correction had to fall upon him and not upon you. He purchased that peace for us if man wants it. Does that make sense? Oh, how God is so good. No wonder Jesus cried out, as we studied not too long ago in John 14:27, when he said unto the, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace, the very peace of the Prince of Peace, my peace I give unto you. In the world, he said, listen, let your heart be not troubled. You know, neither let it be afraid. You know, there is no peace in this world. Oh, there's suicide bombings. There's people that climb up to hotels in Vegas and kill people. People who want to blow up things in California. There's in New York and all over the world. There's no peace here. But Jesus said, my peace I give unto thee. The very peace of God, he says, I give it to you. You know, listen, we have his peace living in us. Amen. He is the Prince of Peace. See, peace is not a place. Peace is a person. He is our Lord. So a Christmas peace, loved one, it, the offer from God to all the people of the world, what is it? It is peace with God. What an offer. God says, I want peace with you. You know, do you have peace with God this morning? One of the greatest scriptures in the Bible, let me read it to you from Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified, just as if you had never sinned, declared innocent for the rest of your life. You understand? That is a position that the true believer holds. Having been justified, not by the law, not by works, not earning it, is an impossible, but having been justified by faith, listen carefully, we have, that's present tense in the Greek, meaning not only continuing now, but continuing forever, we have peace with God. And then it tells us how, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Loved one, listen to me now. This Christmas peace, that first peace that was offered to mankind, that's offered to us as well, which we now have, is a permanent, eternal possession. We have peace with God. It's not a, just like justification. Justification is not a feeling, okay? It's something that happens to us, not in us, okay? We're declared righteous by God as if we had never sinned. But you know, to have peace with God is the same. It's not a feeling. It is a divine fact. There is no more enmity between us and the Lord. Again, it's not even an experience, but it is a divine revelation where the information on this page becomes revelation in your very heart. God's not mad at me. My Father in heaven, he loves me. Why? Because someone paid a very great cost for our peace. Ephesians 2:14, Jesus himself is our peace. Amen. The babe that was born in the manger, born to die, he secured that peace for us. And as you've heard me say over the years, listen, peace with God comes no other way. God only makes peace to us through his son and only his son. Now listen carefully on this Christmas Eve. We do not make peace with God. You understand? We do not make peace with God. God made peace with us, with mankind. How did he do it? By Jesus going to the cross. It says in Colossians 1:20, by him, meaning Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things earth or in heaven, having made peace, it says. It tells us how. Through the blood of his cross. Now listen, because we have this Christmas peace, because we have peace with God, we can also have the peace of God. One of the great things that we should pray in the Bible, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, where it cries out, Paul says, for be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about one thing in your life, but by everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, that grateful heart, knowing that God's going to answer you. Let your requests be known unto God. And listen to what's going to happen. And it says, and the peace of God, the peace of God, the peace that he is peace. He's the God of peace. He's not created peace. He's uncreated peace. He is peace. It says will be yours. Listen carefully. It says, which surpasses all understanding, will guard, will protect, will put a military arsenal around your hearts and your minds. And then again, it tells us how, only through one person, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now listen carefully. You may be saying this morning, Bill, you know what? That's a great scripture, but I'll tell you what, my mind is in torment. I don't have much peace today, you know, or my heart is just filled with hurt, loss of a loved one. Breakup of the family, problems of life. You know, that can happen to any of us, can it? But you know, loved one, the problem is that when we quote that scripture, when you quote that scripture, you should read all of it. Don't leave out verse 7 and following. Let me read it to you. He says, and whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now listen, and the things which you have learned and received and do and saw in me, in other words, our responsibility, these do. And listen what happens when we do that. It says, and the God of peace will be with you. See, it doesn't tell us to think noble thoughts and think virtuous thoughts and all of that. It says to meditate upon them. Let them become part of your life. Well, listen, let me give you a good one to meditate. How about Jesus? Amen. All that he's done for us. You know what the Bible says? That when we think about our Lord, listen to what it says. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace. Oh, perfect peace. I love that, don't you? Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in you. Now, in verse 14 and following, you know the story. Then the shepherds, they are on their way into Bethlehem and they find the babe and so forth and they worship and they're just so excited. Then they go back into the field. Now, with all that being said, it's very important as we're preparing our hearts now for the communion that we're about to celebrate. Let's leave the stable and talk about the Lord's table for a moment. Is that okay? Now listen, let me start with some questions. Important questions this morning that I pray penetrate your heart and open up something for you. Why is it that believers, why does the Christian have peace with God? Why does the Christian have forgiveness of sin? All of our sins. Why are they forgiven? Why is the Christian sanctified, declared holy, set apart unto God? Why is that? Why is the Christian even a citizen of heaven? Why is it that the Christian is blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies? Why is that? Why is it that the Christian has been given permanently, those who really trust God, permanently eternal life, everlasting life, forever and ever and ever? Why? It's because of what we're about to do. It's because of the new covenant. Amen? Listen to me. The new covenant means the New Testament. Do you want to know what belongs to you by virtue of Jesus Christ? Read the New Testament. It belongs to you. Amen? Yes, that's what the word covenant means, testament. We have it right in front of us. Now listen to me. Jesus, the one who was born in the manger, Jesus is the new covenant. Did you hear what I just said? Jesus is the new covenant. Oh, my Lord. Listen, you know, the new covenant, what is the new covenant? The New Testament. What exactly is that? That unconditional, everlasting covenant that God has made. The covenant means an agreement between two parties, God the Father, God the Son. What was that incredible agreement that was made? The new covenant, let me just read it to you very quickly. It says here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds, and I will write them, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And now where there is remission of sin, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, it says, let us come to our great high priest. When you come to Christ, you know what happens? The law is written into our hearts, written into our minds. We become a new creation. No wonder when Jesus, as a Passover, was now passing away and the Lord was instituting what we call the Lord's Supper. Listen to what he did there with the disciples in the upper room before he went to the cross. In Luke 22:20, it says, likewise, Jesus took the cup after cup supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed, or literally poured out for you. Now listen carefully. Without the shedding of his blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Amen. But without his shedding of his blood, there is no new covenant. See, Jesus ratified the new covenant in his very own blood. And the only way, if you read through Hebrews, you'll find that the only way that the new covenant became operative was through death. Then it's activated. Not while he was alive, but only when he died and rose again. Then it was activated for us. Listen to me now. Jesus Christ, the one that was born in the manger, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he is the very final blood sacrifice ever. There's no more that's needed. Amen. That's so profound. I pray that you get that. His sacrifice, his blood, when it was shed, was sufficient for all men everywhere if they would only put their trust in him. Amen. That's what we've done. That's why we can have that Christmas peace. Listen to me. That means Jew and Gentile, but this new covenant was new. Why? Because never before, read the old covenant, read all the way through the new covenant, you find one place where God sacrificed a human being, if you will. Have you ever seen that? No. But yet, he sacrificed his own son. Jesus is our covenant, loved one. He is the new covenant. Boy, the blood of bull and goats, as we're preparing our hearts for Christmas Eve communion, Christmas Day communion, listen, it just doesn't work. It never takes away our sin. Never. But the blood of Jesus Christ has. It says in Hebrews 9:26, it says, and he has appeared, meaning Jesus, to put away sin. How? It says, by the sacrifice of himself. Listen, Jesus had to become one of us. He had to be born of a woman. He had to become a man, the God-man, in order to die for our sins. Listen, when he died upon the cross and we placed our trust in him, we're not only saved from the penalty of sin, the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now listen, we're not only saved from the penalty of death, we're saved from from sin's power, and one day we will finally be saved from sin's presence when we leave this planet and go home to be with him forever and ever. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. In other words, the innocent one for the ones who were not innocent. And it tells us why, that he might bring us to God. We're getting ready to celebrate communion in a moment. Jesus loves us so much. Listen to me. He is the new covenant. when he died upon the cross, all of our sins, every bit, everything, was transferred to him. Our iniquities, our transgressions, and the sins, everything. He bore our sin. But when we believed in him, all of his perfect standing, all of his perfect righteousness, all of his sinless life was transferred to us because we are now in Christ Jesus. Amen? The Bible tells us in 9:12 of Hebrews, he says, not with blood of bull and goats, but with his own blood, Jesus, he entered the most holy place once and for all to obtain eternal redemption. Now listen, Jesus took his own blood. We know that, the Bible, and he poured it out upon the mercy seat there in the heavens. It's still there. Do you understand? Did you know that the blood, his blood is eternal? Did you know that? Yes, I'll show you that in a moment. Communion, what a holy moment. What a wonderful time, knowing that we can approach him. Why? Because we have been eternally saved, not by our works, but by his works. Amen? What he has done, that incredible Christmas peace. Now listen, Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who was born in the manger, he has now embodied everything the new covenant is. Why? Jesus is the new covenant. You say, well, Bill, what do you mean? What I mean is this. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Amen? There's no other way to heaven. He's the only way. Jesus is not only the Word of God, he is the Son of God manifested in the flesh. He's the God-man. Jesus is not only the message of God, Jesus is literally the mind of God. You know what he did for us? Jesus was born, and then he lived the life that you could never live. He lived it for you. Do you see that? See, he is the covenant. He is the sacrifice. He is the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Listen, he lived the life that we could never live. He kept the law perfectly, perfectly, but we never could. Not only that, Jesus died the death for us that we could never die. He tasted death fully for each and every one of us. And not only that, he defeated death, hell, sin, the grave, the devil, all of those things, because we could not defeat them at all. We needed to be rescued. So God sent his son, born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling cloths. Oh, Lord, but there was no room for him at all. Jesus is the new covenant, and we share his life. Now, listen to me. When Jesus died, did Jesus take our place? Was he our substitute? Yes. Okay, when Jesus died, we died. You've heard someone say, about dying. He says, oh, I died 2,000 years ago. Really? Yeah. Whenever Jesus took my place on the cross, I died. When Jesus died, I died. When Jesus rose, we rose. When Jesus ascended, we ascended. Is that, you follow me? The identification that we have. We are now seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, with all that being said, as the ushers are getting ready to come forth and start passing out communion, let me finish what I want to teach this morning as they're passing all of this out. The Bible says this, that Jesus entered heaven for us. He is our forerunner. Amen? Don't get restless, but listen. Is he our forerunner? Yes, he's entered heaven for us. It says in Hebrews 9:24, for Christ, that's our great high priest, has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, right this minute, to appear in the presence of God for us. He's our advocate. Listen, it means this, that when a person asks Christ Jesus to come into their heart, we're now in Christ Jesus. You remember one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible, loved one, is Ephesians 1:6, where it says this, to the praise of the glory of God's grace, by which he made us accepted or freely bestowed upon us in the beloved, meaning God in the one that he loves, and we know that to be Jesus Christ. Now listen, we're about to partake of communion. We're going to celebrate it. Because you know what? The thing is, God, that scripture I just read you, God loves you exactly the same way that he loves Jesus Christ, the Son, his Son. Why? Because we're in him. Now listen, this is your eternal position. It will never change if you're in Christ Jesus. Never change. You see, you couldn't live the life. You couldn't do it. Jesus had to do it for you. Do you understand? We still fall. We still get in trouble. But thank God we can run to God and say, Father, forgive us. You know, cleanse us from all unrighteousness in Jesus' name. And he will if we're sincere. Amen? Amen. Oh, God. I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. You mean, Lord, that you have received us, your church, your people, the sheep of your pastor, you have received us, Lord, on the same standing that you received Christ into heaven? Yeah. Think of that. Why? Jesus is the new covenant. He's the God-man. He came to rescue. He came to save. We could not live the life that he lived. He was a sinless, perfect, spotless Son of God. Now, some of you are going, Bill, are you absolutely sure about that? Let God's word speak, not me. In Hebrews 7:22, by so much more, Jesus has become a surety or a guarantee of a better covenant based on better promises because he died for us, okay? Listen, Jesus is God's guarantee. Jesus is God's surety. Jesus guarantees to us that God will fulfill all of his promises. He's our guarantee of a better covenant based on better promises, and he is a better mediator of that covenant between God and man. Listen, all the promises of God are yes, and again I say amen, in Christ Jesus the Lord. He is our covenant, the New Testament, all the things that belong to us. It says in Hebrews 8:1, it says, the writer says, this is the main point I want to get across to you. And he goes, we have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesties in the heaven. What does that mean? When Jesus was seated, no priest is ever seated. Did you know that in the Old Testament, they had to stay always sacrificing and serving and so forth? Do you know that Jesus, our Lord, God himself, Emmanuel, do you know that the temple on earth before he was crucified, did he ever enter the Holy of Holies? No. No, he was from the tribe of Judah. We have a better mediator, better than the Aaronic priesthood. Are you following me? Well, Lord, we have it made because we're in Christ Jesus. Jesus is in heaven right now as our high priest who reigns for us, who lives for us, who is interceding for us, and he does so from the place of all authority. Matthew's gospel says, Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and upon the earth. It says in Hebrews 9:15, for this reason, meaning the blood of Jesus, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of his death. Now listen, there's no more altar. There's no more altar for sacrifice anywhere in God's eyes. Jesus, the altar was the cross, amen? Jesus paid it all. It is finished. That's why Jesus sat down. All of our sins have been forgiven. Oh, if there's anyone who can have a Christmas peace, it is the believer, amen? Let me say one more thing before we go this morning and partake of communion. This scripture, I pray it burns in your heart. Let me read it to you. It says in Hebrews 13:20, it says, now, and let me add to scripture, now and forever and ever and ever, may the God of peace, there it is, who brought up the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd, that good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the one of the sheep, listen carefully, through the blood, that's his blood, of the everlasting covenant. The covenant that Jesus has made between God the Father, God the Son, is eternal. It is everlasting. It is unconditional. When those who come to Christ Jesus, what did Jesus say? You come to me. All that the Father gives me, he says, I will in no wise cast out. Are you listening to me? Do you understand if Jesus is your Lord, how secure you are? Jesus paid it all, everything. No wonder we owe him everything. Oh, we should have such peace in our hearts. It says the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now listen carefully. Make you complete in every good work to do his will. Why? Look, he says, because he's working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. And it tells us how. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. There it is. That, loved one, is your, my eternal covenant that God has made. I say, oh God, you're so good. Christmas peace is a person and all that he's done. I pray you know Christ this morning, because if you don't, you do not have peace. Scripture says, there is no peace for the wicked, saith the Lord. None at all. But this morning, as we look back on this Christmas Eve, and here we are. Thank you guys. You put it up here for me. You're such a blessing. All that we're about to do now, all that we're about to do, we do in remembrance of him. Amen. This is the cup of the new covenant in his blood. This is the New Testament in his blood. He paid for it. He bought it. He purchased it for you. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. The blood is eternal. The bread isn't. The bread just got him here. Are you following me? This is a substance that we all take of, his body. But loved one, it's the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. There's no justification. Jesus paid it all for you and me. All of it. Every bit of it. Man, our sins are forgiven. We have the very peace of Christ living in our hearts. The one who will never leave you and never forsake you. We abide in him. He abides in us. What glory is that? We're all going to be home one day together. So what we do now, because we've already looked within, we know what Jesus has paid for upon the cross. We've looked back. But we also look ahead for the Lord's coming. Amen. One day he's coming. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And what we do now, we do in remembrance of the one who was born in Bethlehem all those years ago for you and for me. So, Lord God, we come to you now in the precious name of Jesus, the name that is truly above all names. There's truly no one like you, Father. There's no one like you, Jesus. You indeed are the new covenant, and we partake of that now. Let us partake of the bread in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for sending your only begotten Son into this world to die for our sins, to take our shame, to take our place, to receive the wounds that we should have received and die the death that we should have paid for. And Lord, for our sins, oh God, you're so good. We stand only in your unmerited favor. We didn't earn it, but Lord, by a free gift, you gave it to us. We praise you now. In Jesus' name, let us partake of the cup of the new covenant. Father, we praise you now for this day. I pray, Lord, over all the families that are present, those also that are listening live. May your Christmas peace be theirs. May their homes be filled with your joy, your assurance, your truth, your goodness, O God. And the incredible grace, let it dwell there. Thank you for sending our Savior into the world. We love you, we praise you on this Christmas Eve. We give thanks for this entire year that you have allowed us to be. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's